Brent, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
I am, and I would agree with that. And I want to talk college football, but the professional sports need to do something to kind of get themselves going again. And I'm telling you, Ryan, that like NASCAR, the day is coming when that golden goose NFL is going to be hurt by its own arrogance. That drives it right now, and it's going to start going backwards at some point. So, but you know what? That's why we're college fans, because our schools don't move anywhere else, and there's a lot of garbage we don't have to deal with on the college front. They're doing it on the professional front.
And there's allegiance to the school no matter what. If Alabama loses three out of the next four, you're still going to have Alabama fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
And I know there's pro allegiance, but it's just different. You don't have to buy the jerseys. You don't have to support your school. But a lot of people feel guilty if they don't support their university. Brent, let's go back to the Final Four, not the Final Four, the initial ranking of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. How shocked were you when you saw three of the four teams in the Southeastern Conference?
I really wasn't. I mean, it was justified. I was a bit surprised that Ole Miss was three. I thought they might be down some, but at the same time, there were some things in there that I think were certainly worthy of note. One is I'm glad this committee did not get overwhelmed by the mystique of Notre Dame, that they've got Notre Dame at 10, which is where they ought to be, because Notre Dame hasn't beat anybody. Now, your AP with these older writers get sucked into that Notre Dame mystique of years ago, when in reality Notre Dame really hasn't done anything except play Alabama in the national championship game in about three decades. So that I thought was very interesting. Ohio State really is not well thought of at all because A, of their schedule, and then B, because of the loss to Virginia Tech team that's really going down. TCU was helped with the poll, and I think Georgia, if they continue to win, will be helped with that. But reality is, not surprised at all, Ryan. If they deserved where they were, and for any Alabama fans that have any trepidation about this, that would be absolutely ridiculous because it's all in front of them. If they beat LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, and probably Georgia in the SEC championship game, frankly, I'm not sure anybody would have that kind of a slate left to play.
You're in ACC country, or at least you're part of the SEC, yeah, but it's sort of an overlap there, ACC fans. Florida State, obviously, they have to be happy, but you can imagine what the crowds are like in the Big 12 country, in the Big 10 country, out on the West Coast. They don't have an argument, but they'd like to, and I'm sure they're probably creating many of those articles as far as those arguments, thinking that they need to be there. Do you think the selection committee, it's easy to do this poll. This one's easy. Okay, you release the four,
sure,
but at the end of the season, can you really leave out three of the major five conferences? I mean, can you really shut the door on them?
Well, it very well may happen because this committee has been adamant that they're going to get the four best schools. Now, you mentioned the ACC. Here's the reality on the ACC. If FSU loses tomorrow night, it's over for them. Okay, and people are going to say, what? Yes, it's over for them because they don't have anybody else on that schedule that's going to help them, and they're in an absolutely awful conference, and they're going to have to run the table in order to be in the Final Four. But what you said is the reason that we're going to eight, and we're going to eight sooner than later, is because these conferences are going to get fed up with being left out, and they don't have any access, and that's how they're going to get access.
You just knocked it out of the park, and it's something I haven't even thought about. But you think about, we talked about the meltdown if the SEC was not there. Not that they're not there, but I mean, if they only had one team or maybe only two teams, you see a meltdown. Now you've got the power because the population of this country is in Big Ten country. The brand that they have, it's I don't know as far as population, but that's a big brand. There's going to be an outcry from that area. Then that's when you get presidents and you get ADs that did not want a seat at the table when they were talking eight teams.
Right.
You got their attention now.
Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do. And you will for the next two or three or four years. And that's why this garbage about this thing, there's no way this is going to change. It's going to 12. No, it's not. This thing's not going to last four for 12 years. Because look, right now, realistically, probably Michigan State is going to be the only real possibility you've got for the Big Ten. FSU's only possibility for the ACC. And it doesn't take long to be left out of this thing and to not get that money before you're banging on the door wanting a seat at the table to get this thing enlarged.
Let's go to the SEC West for a couple of minutes, because not only is it the SEC conversations, the SEC West, who survives? Who is going to come out of this side of the league and go to Atlanta and represent the Western Division?
I'll just be honest with you. Right now, I don't know. And no one else does either. I mean, this thing is such a crapshoot at this point. It would be easy to say Mississippi State because they're undefeated, but with what they've got left, look, State could lose Saturday to Arkansas, and certainly to Alabama, certainly to Ole Miss. I mean, you can make a case right now, Berkeley, for all of them in that situation. So anybody who thinks he knows right now he's going to win the West, it would be like winning the lottery to almost pick it.
Let me use a little bit of a prediction here. Ole Miss needs Alabama to continue to win. Ole Miss needs Alabama. I mean, if they're going to be in the heavyweight conversation, they need Alabama to win.
Sure.
Alabama needs Ole Miss to continue to win. But if you start sort of going just mathematics, somebody's going to be eliminated. Somebody this weekend out of that Final Four, that initial four, they're going to take a step back. They're going to have two losses on their resume. So they're done. But the conversation that you get into is which one is more important, going to Atlanta if Ole Miss loses, or do you need their strength of schedule to be there to look at a loss for Alabama? Looking at it from the Alabama perspective, what's more important, strength of schedule for Alabama? Because if Ole Miss drops this one, who could say that they don't lose another one against Mississippi State? And then you'd really start taking a step back. And then that loss that you thought was a quality loss, it's not really a quality loss. Now it's a team that's drifted a little further back. That's the risk, the fear that I have about this side of the division.
And it's there. And look, at this juncture, I'm not even sure that you can say a two-loss team is out of this thing. Let's just say if Auburn loses their second game, how much more cachet would they get if they beat Georgia and Alabama? So at this point, it's hard. It's hard to say to even guarantee you with that. I mean, let me say this. I mean, if you've got two losses, your margin of error is like zero or minus one. But that's a good point about Ole Miss. But yet, Ryan, the Mississippi schools at this point, their biggest problem is not physical, it's mental. And are you able to wear the crown on your head in the top three as they have and survive in so far, and give a lot of credit to LSU, but Ole Miss had that chance last week and it didn't work. And I think to some degree that got to them.
You know, and you got to think at it from Hugh Freeze's perspective for a couple of minutes. I mean, think about it. A high school coach, a college coach, an NFL coach, you lose, but you get rewarded. Think about the motivation that Hugh Freeze is having to preach to his football team. right now. You lose, but you get rewarded. That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, absolutely. That's almost insane, frankly, when you think about that. But that's very true, and that's why I was so surprised to see them at number three. So, again, this time in November, and this is to your point, could they still be three, or could they be 13 or 23 by then?
That's the league that we're talking about. Right now, Brent Beard inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. College football analyst, LindySports.com, 1010XL out of Jacksonville, Florida. Brent, let's go to Mississippi State before we travel back in this state for a couple of minutes. Looking at Mississippi State, you talked about Arkansas a couple of minutes ago. Do they really have a chance against State?
I think they've got a chance. Now, are they going to win? No. But I just think you've got a situation right now in this league when you play one of these, particularly these Western Division teams. If you get in one of these typical snot knocker things to where Arkansas could take them mid deep into the third quarter, a mistake or some fourth could make a difference. Attrition could make a difference. The State win, yeah, I think they probably do. But at the same time, I think this thing is a game of attrition at this point, Ryan. I really do. Arkansas is getting better. Should they win? No, not necessarily. But at the same time, Dak Prescott continues to play well. Seven straight games where he's thrown for 200 yards or more. First time that's happened in Mississippi State history, which is amazing. But I'm telling you what's concerning about State right now. They gave up 504 yards to Kentucky. And Kentucky, with Patrick Toews, has a better quarterback than Arkansas does with Brandon Allen. But when you're giving up that much yardage, that is a concern. So, I would have said in the summer last year, that this would have been a slam dunk for Mississippi State, but I don't think you'd say that right now.
Now let me go to the conversation of the Auburn Tigers. Give me their weaknesses. Go into Ole Miss, where do they need to play better to win this game?
Well, I think one thing they did last week, which helped them, is the more they throw the ball, the worse they play. In the Mississippi State game, Nick Marshall, who, by the way, is still an average quarterback. Marshall is not a great quarterback. Let's just be honest about that. But he's worked well within the system, primarily because often he's had wide open receivers, and it's just being able to work well for him. But we need to be realistic about that. But he threw for over 30 times against Mississippi State, and they lost the game. He threw 14 times against South Carolina, and they won. Now, I know Mississippi State has a better team than South Carolina. I think that's also key for them. And I also got amused at some of the Auburn beat writers talking about how the defense saved them at the end of the game. I don't quite get that when you give up 35 points and that there were 1,086 yards and 55 first downs in that game. Look, Auburn's still struggling defensively. And they can be taken advantage of. Ole Miss, Denzel Kemdetia is out, which hurts them, but they've got enough depth to be able to do that. So I think their weaknesses continue to be in their passing game and also defensively, particularly in their secondary.
When you look at Alabama, what do you see in a football team?
I see a team that really has the roster to where they can win a national championship, but they don't play consistently enough in order to do it. They're still the scheme is still too complicated. They spend way too much time trying to run the plays in and substitute too liberally. That's got to be simplified at some point. I see defensive backs who are improving, but why they don't turn their head and look at the ball when the receiver looks at the ball is just beyond me, because they ought to have 10 more interceptions than they do at this time of year. I see a defensive line that's improving greatly. Tremendous concern with Cam Robinson out now on the offensive line, although I think the offensive line is played better. Blake Sims, a quarterback who a dual threat really has helped his game, but he's still got to go beyond his progressions. Tight end positions really not helping Alabama at all. O.J. Howard's too soft, makes too many mistakes. You need to see a lot of improvement in him. They still need to throw the ball to more than just a couple of receivers and the Andrew White and obviously Mari Cooper. You need to get another running back ready. And I'm going to tell you right now who that is. They need to do something more with Jalston Fowler than what they're doing. He's greatly underutilized. He may have made the best run of the game, even though he fumbled the ball. He'd be a real weapon in the fourth quarter. And I tell you where they really need him against LSU is they really need to put him at some kind of a tight end situation and take advantage of his talents. Because, frankly, he catches the ball better than anybody, any tight end they've got just about right now. If it comes down to a field goal, that's a flip of a coin. The punter, Scott, may be the best in the nation easily. So, I mean, just running through the different units, I think that's kind of what you've got. And I still think they're kind of in the middle. Ryan, they can get things together as they did against Texas A&M, and not just the score, but the unity and the chemistry, and run the table, or the train could get off the tracks in LSU, and they could lose another two or three games.
Brent, is LSU the toughest game left on Alabama's schedule? I mean, you could say Mississippi State and Auburn because of style, but I mean, just because it's on the road, the way this team has played on the road, they've been up and down, up and down. It's like a roller coaster.
Yes.
Heart attack kids. Is LSU, is that the big hurdle if you're an Alabama fan to try to get over?
You really could make that argument, frankly. Now again, the good thing facing LSU is going to be. Is you still are looking at a mirror image of yourself. And Alabama, frankly, is built to play LSU. They're not really built to play Auburn or a more of a passing spread team. So, but still, on the road, LSU has a lot to prove. They've gotten much better now. So I think you can make that argument. But I think if this team could go to LSU and beat them and gain that kind of confidence, I'll put it to you this way. I think if they beat LSU, I think they'll beat Mississippi State. I really think they can beat State in Tuscaloosa.
Well, and I guess that's my point, is you look at Alabama, you know what you're going to get at home. I mean, you're going to get a much better football team. And I think the challenge when you go to Tiger Stadium, you go to Death Valley, that's the challenge. For a young football team, Arkansas, listen, Neyland Stadium, you took the crowd out of it. But a 7 o'clock evening game under the lights, this one's going to be intimidating. It should be. It's a great place to play. It's a great venue.
And especially for these younger players. I mean, a lot of it's going to be but the thing they need right now is this team makes too many mistakes in a game, either turnovers or silly penalties or special teams plays or they need somebody to step up and cover a multitude of sins, meaning they need and I think it's somebody probably besides Cooper. I think they need a Yeldon or a Fowler or a Henry or Sims or even the entire defense to play on another level. And if they could get them, let me tell you what they need. They need a Sean Alexander performance like they got several years ago when he went over 200 yards in that game. That's what they, and And going into this game, they need to be ahead and have this thing clamped down, I believe, by the time they get in the fourth quarter.
That's the conversation that if you get to the fourth quarter and it's even close, that'll be the conversation that I'm sure that we'll get into next week. One more conversation. I'm dying to get your opinion on Gurley right now. Two additional games from the NCAA from a group that we thought was weak, but I guess if you walk in and admit guilt, they don't have to do a lot of investigation. Two additional games for Gurley.
This thing was really a mess. I talked to some Georgia beat writers. They had a lot of disagreements internally among the athletic staff and the compliance staff with this one. But again, I mean, it's obviously on Gurley. I'm not going to move around that at all.
Oh, sure. Gurley, I mean, he did something wrong, sure.
And he did. But at this point, I guess it amazes me sometimes in why they're and I guess you just got to take time to figure out really what he did. You know, if he got cash for this, there's no way to trace it. What are they going to admit and not admit? And what can you discover, not discover? But I still think, frankly, Ryan, this is a situation that's going to be probably totally different in the next few years, because I think they're going to do something to change this and keep this from being the problem that it is now.